Hello, and welcome to What's the Big Idea? I'm your host, Andrew Whitmire. Today's episode is brought to you by Destination Imagination, commonly referred to as DI, the leading creative problem-solving experience for children. Through DI's innovative project-based educational experiences, participants gain the skills that will set them up for success in careers like the one we're going to hear about today. Learn more about DI at destinationimagination.org. On today's episode, we're pleased to welcome Nini White. Nini is a writer, editor, curriculum developer, lifelong learner, creator of Kids Own Wisdom SEL resources, and the host of Big Picture Social Emotional Learning Podcast. Nini was a teacher for more than 22 years, even though she graduated at the bottom of her class back in the day, when there was no DI to channel her non-conventional creative intelligence, which is the biggest reason why she wanted to become a teacher, to nurture, facilitate, and guide the next generation of kids who might experience low self-esteem for the single reason that their intelligence manifests in non-conventional ways. Joining us today from Sebastopol, California, please welcome Nini White. Hey, Nini, how are you?
Hey, Andrew. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's such a pleasure. Yeah. So I would love to start out by hearing a description of what you would consider your job is. What do you do?
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. I love talking about this. It's like I could be so tired someday or having traveled forever, and if somebody asked me what I'm doing, boom, I wake up. What I love to do is, and I know that we have this in common with DI, is to draw out kids' potential for critical thinking, for problem solving, for empathy, for doing what deep down they know is right, even if they're not seeing what's right on the outside. That's the big picture of what I do. And then what I did was created some social emotional learning skills to do just that, to draw out from kids what I knew they knew about how people, animals, the environment want to be treated, even if they don't always act like they know. But when kids do things in groups with their peers, where they're allowed to exercise their own intelligence, their own creativity, their own problem-solving skills, the magic happens, which isn't really magic. It's just what's there waiting to happen. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And then I created a podcast. I've gone over my minute.
No, tell us more. Tell us more. Tell us about the podcast.
Well, the reason that I created the podcast is because the resources that I created, there wasn't such a, some teachers got it, but a lot of teachers didn't, because I think teachers are so used to teaching that maybe they don't feel that flexibility in themselves to draw out what kids have necessarily. They haven't been trained in those kind of skills. And so I wanted to see how many other sources of drawing out what kids have are out there. So I created the podcast to have those conversations.
Wow. I really love that. I mean, I can tell why we're friends, Destination Imagination, that we're all about, centering around the child and around kids and helping them to creatively self-express themselves, both independently, but also in the situation where they find themselves in a collaborative environment with their team. That is such an important aspect, I think, of self-expression, because when you work with others, you are, negotiating, you're sharing, you are sometimes in a vulnerable position because you are sort of putting your own thoughts and ideas out there and looking for validation and support. And DI kind of brings all of those things to bear.
Very so effective. Very effective. Yeah, I think there's nothing more exciting for the adults that get to facilitate those kinds of experiences for kids, and obviously nothing more exciting or rewarding for the kids themselves. So it's a win-win.
Yeah, Yeah, we like to think so for sure. Yeah. So in Destination Imagination, we talk a lot about the four C's, which I know you know a lot about, communication, collaboration, critical thinking, and creativity. Of those four skills, how would you say they manifest in your work? And if there was one particular C that resonates most with you or your work, can you share a little bit about how that, how it finds its way into the work that you do?
Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful seed idea to really contemplate. I do though find it impossible to separate those out because they are so synergistic the way they work together. And when you have collaboration and creativity and communication, and the fourth one is
critical thinking.
Sorry?
Critical thinking.
Critical thinking. How could I forget that? When they're all working together, I mean, how are you not going to have situations that benefit everyone in one way or another that for growth, not only on the project that you're working on, but for the brain so that you can carry those skills forward? I'm always thinking right here and now and then forward. What are the long-term effects of this kind of project, of this kind of interaction? So I'm sorry, I won't do well on answering your question. I cannot isolate those. I just think they're so essential. I guess I love the collaborative part, though, because connecting with others, listening and sharing, super duper important. Yeah.
Definitely. Is there, you know, something that you can share with our listeners about those who may be interested in a career similar to the one that you've taken?
You know, that's an interesting question because it's kind of doesn't make any sense that I became a teacher from one perspective because I did so badly in school myself. But over time, I found out that, oh, I wasn't what my grades reported that my intelligence or my capacities were. And I had my own kids and I realized I didn't want to see that go forward in time. So sometimes you'll see in life that people who have huge challenges dedicate their lives to fixing those challenges for the next generation. So if kids are inspired to become teachers, it certainly isn't for the pay. It's obviously for the rewards that of doing something that really feels like it makes a difference in a positive way. So I think that people should be true to that instinct, and there will be ways that reveal themselves that make it the best possible decision. That's all I can say. To become an educator, I can't imagine anything more rewarding.
Love that. You know, it sounds like you had a tough go of it as a young person growing up in sort of the educational system here in the United States. What was it that you ran into or discovered that helped you to uncover your own belief in your abilities?
I think that after I got out of school, people that I thought were really intelligent started treating me like they thought I was intelligent. And it was so kind of baffling to me. And then I got different challenges that I was able to resolve. And so it's funny, but the school system didn't help me to find out that I had an intelligence that is functional in this world. But that's what I love about DI, because it gives kids those opportunities to discover that they have maybe not the standard conventional kind of intelligence, but a creative kind of intelligence that might even surprise themselves. So I think the more opportunities that kids get to have friendly challenges that do challenge and do stretch and do cause some discomfort sometimes is the ultimate gift in life, when those opportunities are in basically safe situations guided by knowledgeable facilitators. For myself, when I was in school, I didn't have that. Nothing mattered. Nothing was brought to us in groups that we could all get together about and try to figure out together. And I just worship DI because it does that for kids. And I've seen the effects of it in schools where I worked, that just kids blossom with it. And it's just so inspiring. So, I love that. Yeah.
I'd be curious to dig a little bit more into sort of like a day in the life of Nini. Like, what does it look like as, you know, a curriculum developer? Like, do you work with school systems? Do you work on sort of like a one-on-one basis? Do you work directly with kids or like homeschool groups to help adults understand their role in opening up opportunities for kids? Like, tell us a little bit about what your day-to-day sort of looks like with Kids Own Wisdom.
Oh, yeah. That's the ultimate energizer for me, because what I get the most energy out of is finding relevance for kids and for teachers in any discipline, so that things matter that you're studying. How do we relate the knowledge that we need to acquire to be educated people? How do we make it matter? How do we show that it matters to the students in their lives today? I mean, did you, Andrew, when you were a kid, think, what does this have to do with me, when you were in certain classes?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Right? Right?
All the time.
Oh, all the time. See, so that's where I was at. And so one of my favorite things to do when I was a teacher, and then when I'm helping other teachers, is to create that bridge. And usually it's not so hard. It does take some expanded thinking and being in touch with current events and you know, feeling situations from the human perspective too, but it can be done. So creating relevance, bottom line. Yeah. For any subject. Yeah.
And sort of, it sounds like doing that from the educator perspective. It sounds like you do a lot of work with teachers and with educators to think about how they can see students and then bring that student's perspective to the table in the learning experience that they're trying to facilitate.
And a lot of times that's done with questions. Like, DI doesn't tell any answers. It just creates the kinds of questions that spark, you know, the energy and the curiosity of kids to pursue and explore. And that's what questions are the answer. Questions are the answer. And so questions, what they do is just like they shine a light. Oh, well, look over here. What do we see? How do you see? And then look over there and do those two, and just creating relevance by creating questions and creating curiosity, not always providing answers, just shining lights. Try that path.
Yeah. It's almost like creating a sort of like a safe sandbox. Like,
yes.
The psychological safety, I think, in this approach to learning is really, really critical. Like, you have to have an environment where kids feel like they can open up and bring themselves. So there's sort of a certain amount of like level setting and sort of safety, and you can't just sort of start asking kids to open up and be themselves without providing that safe space to do it. And I think the thing that, you know, I love about Destination Imagination is that it provides those opportunities. And if the space that is created is safe, then the questions that get asked through DI challenges and DI experiences allow students to take their ideas, to take their thoughts in so many different directions. So, you know, whether it's building a drone that you know, flies over a game board and delivers payloads, or creating a performance that incorporates a song or a piece of music that's team created, like having that opportunity to really bring yourself and your own ideas to the table in that safe environment can make all the difference.
All the difference. And the ultimate gift is to give the safety to just try wacky ideas and to just throw them out there and just see what happens and see how they land and be okay if they don't land or if they do land. And and what that requires a lot of times is with the teacher or the adults that are helping to facilitate these kinds of things. And I'm talking about Kids Own Wisdom, my SEL resources as well, is to just be interested in what the kids have to say and how they explore ideas and how they deal with challenges and how they deal with the risk of coming up with possible answers or possible wrong answers, you know? Mm-hmm. To just that process is so valuable for everyone. And sometimes it takes more courage from the adults to be able to just sit and watch for a while. Have you been a facilitator for Destination Imagination?
Oh yeah. I'm an alum of the program. I did Destination Imagination when I was a kid. I actually started my career as a camp counselor. And so I was hired as a college student to run Destination Imagination camps on Air Force bases in the Pacific. So that was a really eye-opening and amazing experience, because when you're working with, military-connected families, there is a prevailing approach to the, you know, living in a military-connected family. Yes. And sometimes, not always, but in many cases, you know, kids aren't necessarily exposed to opportunities to just bring themselves to a problem or experience. Their lives in many ways are often really tightly managed because of just that lifestyle. That's understandable, but I would spend a week on an Air Force base. And from Monday to Friday, the change within the students that you could observe was really dramatic. So on Monday, you'd present them with a challenge. You know, it didn't have a clear-cut answer. It was super open-ended. You gave them some materials, very much like the instant challenge approach that we have in our team challenge experience. And the kids would look at you like you had 10 heads. They would be like, well, where, like, how am I supposed to solve this? Like, what do you mean? Like, what do I do? How do I write a story? And so then you begin to like give them some tools, and it's like, okay, well, here's where you're stuck. What if we, what are all the ways we could think about, you know, this particular, like writing a story about a family vacation, like where could you go on vacation? Like, let's like write a big list. And then they would do that. And then it'd be like, okay, you have all these ideas. Look, you just generated a ton of different ideas. Yeah. Now it's time to choose one. Which one seems to make the most sense? Which one are you most excited about? Which do you think you can take in many different directions? So like kind of systematically working them through and bringing tools and techniques to the table to help them think through their thinking really allowed them to access these parts of themselves that are there. They're right under the surface, but they just need to be given the opportunity and the confidence that if they step into it, then they'll thrive. And so then by Friday, when we would have a jumping off point with the parents and present to them sort of like a final showcase, you know, comments that I would consistently hear, no matter where I was in the Pacific on different Air Force bases, was, oh, I didn't know that Jessica could sing. I didn't know that Johnny was so funny. I didn't know that Angela wanted to build things. Oh, I didn't know that my kid could build things. Like, these were the things. I mean, some parents would get like actually really emotional because they were like so surprised by the things that their kids would create, but they just had never really given them or knew how to give them these opportunities with which to explore and express themselves in these ways.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's really what did it for me. Like when I really trace back my experience and why I personally, professionally am, and have, you know, spent my career, promoting this way of learning and this way of educating, it's because I saw firsthand how these kids were being changed with just a week of, of, you know, 4 hours of camp. And the impact I think that that can have, especially over time, is really, really, really palpable.
That was three reallys you used.
really.
You can even use a few more. I mean, yes, I think it's what I want to see for the world, like so seriously and from my heart, because what I think that a lot of the problems, especially in our country, is that is not happening enough. And there is it just a lack of knowledge, or is there a control to not let that happen? And of course, I don't want to get too political or anything like that, but what I see to help our country be able, with all of the divisions that are happening, they don't have to be there. They can just be differences, and people can have different opinions, and they can have different ways of solving problems, but they might actually care about the same problem, but they don't realize, because they have different solutions, that their one side is awful and the other side is awful, and they can't have conversations. And so when these collaborative conversations that encourage creative thinking and problem solving and critical thinking skills, what kind of a future could we build for this country if more of that was available?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's, I like to, totally. I think of it, I've been thinking about this a lot recently too. And it's almost like when you think about educational testing, like especially through the lens of like a public school setting, it's really critical that the things that I'm teaching are measurable and easy to observe. So like when you think about an iceberg, the things at the top that you can see above the surface are like mathematics, technical skills, writing skills, language, data management. Those are all sort of like very hard skills that I can teach you, and I can test you on whether or not you have obtained that skill. But right below the surface are skills that are also critical, but testing rarely focuses on them because they're really difficult to observe. Things like effective communication, creative thinking, adaptability, critical thinking, problem solving, innovation, empathy, back risk to social emotional learning. And like, I think that is something that we still don't know how to overcome, because at the end of the day, the sort of model that exists is like, I teach you this, you learn it, I test you on it, you get the answer right or wrong, and then we move on. And like, that's not serving students well.
Right. And then we know who you are based on. Yeah. And then we know who you are based on how well you answered those questions. Mm-hmm. Ah! Mm-hmm. So damaging. Yeah. It's amazing that I survived, you know, that it was just... No, really, it is. I just had such low self-esteem, and I still battle with it. I still doubt it. That's partly why I created my podcast, to get validation for my social emotional learning skills. But anyway, everybody has a story. Everybody has challenges. So I'm not really poor me, but it's just amazing how any challenge can be an opportunity for amazing growth and solutions and victories and fun, and that benefits everyone. Mm-hmm. And again, that's what I love about Destination Imagination. And it's what I love about the social emotional tools that I developed, that almost just came to me. Because, oh my God, these kids do not want to be told what to do, how to behave, how to think, how to decide how that person feels. But if I ask the right questions, and if I give them opportunities to think, how did that happen? And what's going to happen afterwards if such and such happens and all of this stuff, then things will change. And it was even better than I had hoped it would be. Except I kind of knew it would be because I know how we all work, you know? Mm-hmm. We don't want to be told what to do. We want to have opportunities to bring it.
Love it. So yeah. I'd love to ask you some rapid fire questions.
Oh boy.
So these can be gut reaction, one word answers, or a couple word answers. If you can, but if you're ready, we'll jump in.
I don't know if I'll ever be ready, but what the heck?
All right. We'll start out with a, maybe an easier one. What is your favorite food?
Huh? My favorite food. Well, vegetables, big green salad, I think, with all kinds of everything in it. Yeah.
Love that. All right. What is your wallpaper image on your cell phone?
My older son's dog.
Oh. People who are listening can't see it, but I can see it because we're recording this on video. What kind of dog does
your son have? He's a mix of a whole bunch of different things, but I'm almost embarrassed, but honestly, this dog, he is so smart and so loving and so loyal to the family. He knocks me out.
We're doing such a bad job of keeping this to one answer, one word. It's my fault because I keep asking follow-up questions. Okay. As a child, what did you want to be when you grew up?
A dancer. Absolutely a dancer. Yeah. Dance is my first love.
If you started your own talk show, who would be the first person you'd invite as a guest?
Oh, you. I've really enjoyed this conversation.
So kind.
Really?
Would you rather have the power of invisibility or the power of flight?
I suppose, oh my gosh, invisibility. Because then you could see what was really going on in certain situations.
Interesting. Every single person that I have interviewed has said invisibility so far.
Interesting. Like
a number of, just everyone has said that. Love that.
What would you choose?
I would choose flight because, like, I want to fly. I want to be able to take off. But the power of invisibility, like, that's like a deep choice. That's like a deep choice. You know, I respect that. It's making me definitely rethink my choice.
Anyway. You could be an invisible flyer.
Exactly, right? Just have the best of both worlds. Cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
Okay, one last question. Is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know that we didn't get a chance to really touch on?
Thank you. I just got back from 2 months of traveling in India, Thailand, and Japan. And I have traveled, but not for a long time. And so this trip was kind of exhausting in a lot of ways, but I just know how important it is for us to get out of our own, you know, little world and to be able to see how other people live, what their values are, what is real for them. And so that we can realize that even though each of us is the center of our own world, we are not the center of the world. And it's a big world. And to be able to really appreciate that and be open to how human humanity is in so many different ways. I just wish that for everyone to be able to experience the richness of humanity and the variety and the validity of so many different ways of doing things.
Nini, what is the big idea that excites you right now?
The growth and the growth of this movement to draw out kids' intelligence and activate it with mutually respectful interactions, just like what we're talking about, that I think the promise for a better world for everyone lies in that approach, that one single commitment to that approach.
Nini, thank you so much for joining us today on What's the Big Idea. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Oh, Andrew, thank you so much. Thank you.
We would like to acknowledge that this episode of What's the Big Idea was recorded on land originally inhabited and cultivated by the Lenape, Miami, Miwok, and Pomo and Shawnee nations. We are grateful for this land and for the people who have stewarded it for generations. This episode was produced by Kelsey Selleck with additional material provided by Donald Offiero and Johnny Wells, with music by Kevin McLeod. Special thanks to our guest, Nini White, for joining us today. You can learn more about Nini and follow her Instagram at nini.white. That's nini.white. Or by listening to the Big Picture Social Emotional Learning Podcast. To learn more about our show and about DI, visit us at destinationimagination.org. If you'd like to inspire even more big ideas for young people around the world, consider making a charitable contribution to DI at destinationimagination.org/donate. I'm Andrew Whitmire. Thanks for listening to What's the Big Idea?
Ready to learn more about Destination Imagination? Join us online for a free introductory webinar. These information sessions are designed for parents, educators, and volunteers who are ready to learn more about DI's educational experiences and how to get involved. Sign up to attend a 45-minute live session or download one of our captioned videos on demand. Register today at destinationimagination.org/webinar. We'll see you there.
Destination Imagination taught me how to work as a member of a team.
Destination Imagination taught me leadership skills.
Destination Imagination taught me that there are infinite ways for me to express my creativity.
If you're ready to awaken creativity and ignite a love of learning for your child, join Destination Imagination today. Hi, I'm Johnny Wells, Director of Education at Destination Imagination. DI provides unique educational experiences that give students the opportunity to create projects, solve problems, learn new concepts, and have a great time in the process. Just listen to what some of our alumni have to say.
I use what I learned in DI to solve problems at work, at home, and in every aspect of my life.
I use what I learned in DI to give me confidence when I try something new.
I use what I learned in DI to make a positive impact within my community.
Today's DI participants are tomorrow's innovators, problem solvers, and leaders. If that sounds like a good fit for you and the young people in your life, we'd love to have you join us. To get started today, visit destinationimagination.org.